welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture again in 1 John 4. We actually looked at this Scripture last week, and we're going to kind of see some continuity from last week to this week as we revisit this amazing passage of Scripture, the Apostle John writing. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard was coming and now is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Now, during the writing here of John's epistle, Gnosticism was a doctrine that was being propagated at the time, and they didn't confess that Jesus came in the flesh. He was kind of anything that's fleshly is natural evil, and everything was spiritual. And so it was just kind of this real mystical form of Christianity trying to creep into the church. So he's taking authority over that bad doctrine here and in his writings. And it's a lot of what the epistle of 1 John addresses, that particular doctrine. So, but he's going on here, and he's saying again, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God." Now, that's a very specific application to Gnosticism, but that principle is true across the board. We know we've looked in previous, last Sunday again, about how we wrestle against powers, principalities. We have spiritual wickedness in high places and different things like that. So we know that we're in this spiritual battle. And we kind of looked at it last week from kind of the, we called the 2 Corinthians 10 side, kind of the cerebral mental side. We got thoughts and arguments and imaginations and captivating thoughts. And then we looked on the Ephesians 6 side, where you see that same battle in terms of powers, principalities. And so we see we're in this kind of this battle of spiritual warfare. And of course, ultimately, in our lives, we don't, with natural eyes, see the spirit realm, you know? We see a natural realm with natural eyes, but we also have spiritual eyes that God gives us, and that we can pray that the eyes of our understanding, the eyes that God gives us on the inside to be able to discern and tell and to be able to detect the force and the different things that are going on, so that we can test things, test the spirits. And it is kind of an interesting deal because, as we talked about again last week, and I just used the illustration of my farming days, we'd have a weed, and when we'd pull weeds, you'd have the top of the weed, which was the leaf, but then there was the root system down below. If you just clip the top of the leaf off, then tomorrow that weed would be back. But you had to go down to the root system, pull it out, and then expose it to the sun, and then that weed would die. And we said a lot last week, this is kind of like the battle of the mind. It's so much that way. When you have thoughts in your head, you have to realize that those thoughts many times are connected to spiritual powers, principalities, things that are trying to get access to your life. And so many times there's so much more to it than just think right. You know, think right. Thinking is good, and thinking right is good, and the think right message is important. But it only kind of, it just scratches the surface of what we've been given in Christ to really be able to deal with and win this battle of the mind. And what we said again last week is you have to see through the thoughts to the spiritual forces that are working in behind it. Those thoughts are good because they're identifiers. You can kind of see what's going on. But if you stop and you just try to engage it at the thought level and you just try to have a mental battle, play a mind game with the enemy, he will whip you. He's been playing men for thousands of years. But the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. The mind is good. It's good to see and identify. But we see through because we've got weapons in the name of Jesus and the Word of God. I don't get victory over a demon spirit because I outthink it. I get victory over a demon spirit because he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. It's not of Ed House. It's of the power of God. And there's a yielding to the power of God in the name of Jesus and the Word of God that has power to get into that spirit realm and push back things. And that's what we looked at last week. And I shared a few things and just about the potentiality. I had this dream where I could just see myself living in the fullness of that, verse 4. You know, it's like it was a vision. It was a dream that inspired me that when I woke up, it was like, oh, that's where I want to go. That's how I want to live. It was one of those dreams that just stirred you up to want to let God live in me the way he can. You know, I hear that quote all the time. We only use like 10% of our brain. You know, I wonder how much of the Holy Spirit in us we use. You know, in terms of potentiality, you know, and what's there. The one who can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And so it was really a dream that just inspired God. I want to let you live in me. I want to let you express yourself in me and through me. All the power I need is there. And really last week, that was really what that message was about, was the potentiality and the power of God to fear not because God lives in you. This morning, we're going to kind of take that fear not message to another level, to another aspect, if you will. We see in John 10, 3 through 5, he says, this is Jesus speaking, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger but will flee from him for they do not know the voice of strangers. And so here we see Jesus telling us, assuring us, that we are his sheep, he is the good shepherd, and that we know his voice, okay? We know his voice. And here we see something, too, where 1 John 4 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Now, here's the cool thing. He doesn't say, test the spirit to see what kind of spirit it is. In other words, we're not supposed to be fine connoisseurs of demonic spirits. That's part hatred, part evil, part... No, he says, test the spirits whether they're of God. You're really just doing one check on whatever spirit it is. Are you from God or not? It's a very binary test. If it's not of God, you got no business with it. It's just a one question test. It's very simple. Reminds me of an application to date my daughter I saw once. Question number one, do you own a van? Yes or no? If yes, congratulations, you've completed the application. Somebody asked me once how, just teasing about Isaac, he's a New England Patriot fan and I'm a Miami Dolphin fan, and how he could have possibly come into the family. And I told him, I said, you know, I gave him the same application that I give everybody, and I just didn't realize there's a question above the van question, you know. Are you a New England Patriot fan? Do you own a van? No. He's great. Love him. But just got to tease him a little bit. So, but anyway, this is a very binary test when it comes to testing the spirits. I'm not being, again, an authority on the type of spirit and all that kind of stuff. I'm really simple in my test. I just want to know, are you of God or are you not of God? If you're not of God, I know one thing. He that's in me is greater than you. If you are of God, I want to hear what you have to say. I will know your voice, and you will speak to my heart, and you will lead and guide me. And so, as we're talking this morning, I want to approach the subject, kind of carry the message from last week to another level here. Fear not, you know God's voice, all right? You know God's voice. You do. And the reason you do, again, it's not a cerebral, You know God's voice because you have the Holy Spirit in you. The greater one lives in you. And because he lives in you, you know his voice. There's an intuitive knowing that you have of his voice just because you're born of his Spirit. And his Spirit is the greater one who's inside of you. And as we look at this admonition here in 1 John chapter 4 to not believe every spirit but test the spirits, we're going to look very specifically in the Word of God how the greater one helps us to test the spirits. Very specifically, if we've got thoughts in our head and we're wondering, is this God or is this not God? The greater one is right there to help us test the spirits, to know not exactly what they are or where they come from, but simply whether they're of God or not. They're God tests. In other words, the greater one's going to say, if it's God, it's going to look like this, it's going to sound like this, it's going to feel like this, that's God. And you're going to check to see if it sounds like that. I've heard that, and I don't know, but I've heard this repeatedly, that a lot of times when people back in the day would check for counterfeit and counterfeit money and things like that, what they would do is they would have their employees work with people with real money. And they would get so familiar with the real money, how it smelled, how it felt, how it looked, that if there was anything that wasn't real, it would just show up. And that was the way you detected counterfeit. You just got familiar with the real thing. And that's kind of the admonition of this test. I'm going to test whether something's of God or not. I'm going to let the greater one show me what does that look like? What is the real, authentic thoughts, my heart? Is this a God thing? Is this God leading me? And so, as we're talking about fear not, we're going to be talking about really kind of testing the spirits as we listen to his voice, all right? We're kind of bringing those thoughts together. So, fear not, you know God's voice. And so, these are just a series of tests that you can use as you're testing the spirits, as you're testing those powers, principalities, things that are coming against your mind. Number one, I'm simply calling it the Jesus test, or you could call it the Word test. Jesus is the Word. The Jesus test. Is it Christ-centered or is it self-centered? Jesus said when the Holy Spirit came, he would do something that would really show his hand in being able to test the spirits. Am I hearing from the greater one? Am I hearing from God? He said this. He said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it unto you. There will be something in quality when you're hearing from God that'll point you back to Jesus. It'll point you back to the Lord Jesus Christ. His love, his lordship, his word, it's Jesus. It doesn't glorify man. It glorifies Jesus. It creates your dependency and your heart gaze toward Jesus. And so as you may be thinking about things or opportunities that are, you know, could be really good, could be some really good God things, ultimately, when it's God leading you and guiding you, there's going to be something about it that is going to put your heart and your dependency upon him, where you're looking to him. Now, here's kind of example that we get from James. He says, if you've got bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom doesn't descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion, every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. So here again, we're kind of seeing that contrast of wisdom. Am I getting something? Is this a God thing or what? And what did Jesus said? The Holy Spirit, he will glorify me. It'll point you upward. It'll point you upward to where Christ is. And so you see those two wisdoms. There's the upward wisdom from above, but then there's this demonic wisdom that's not from above. And the interesting thing that he says here is that he says in verse 15, he says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So as you're getting stuff in your head sometimes, you're thinking, because a lot of times people will ask that question, is it my flesh or is it the devil? I think we over-compartmentalize that sometimes. The fact of the matter is, your flesh is the flesh because the devil is the devil. God didn't create the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are perversions from the fall. Satan's spiritual forces play on your flesh. And so it's not always so important, because I remember there is a distinction, but it's not always so important to have to know precisely before you know what to do next. I've heard somebody say, you know, it's true, you can't cast out your flesh, right? And you can't put to death a demon, you know, that we're told in the scripture to put to death the deeds of the body and to take authority to resist spiritual forces. And so you've got those two things working, but they work in tandem. And especially when you're talking about demonic wisdom, what is it? Is it sensual or is it demonic? Is it of my senses or is it demonic? It's all of the above. It's earthly and sensual and demonic. Demonic wisdom is. Demonic wisdom will play on your flesh. What is your flesh? You got to go to Galatians chapter 5. Look at the works of the flesh: adultery, fornication, hatred, outbursts of wrath, different things like that. It's those things that pull on us. But you'll notice that demonic wisdom plays on your flesh with spiritual forces and things like that. And what does it say? It says confusion and every evil thing. And so you can be left with this thing going, ah, what's the flesh? What's the devil? And all that kind of stuff. And it's confusing. That's really a good element that this is not God. Again, what are we testing? I'm not trying to get the flavor of the demonic spirit here. It's a one-question test. Is this God or is this not God? And all of a sudden, I'm picking things up. I just know one thing for sure. This is not God. You know, when you get the earthly, sensual, devilish going on. But you'll notice that in verse 15, he says, this wisdom does not descend from above. He tells us that because there's a tendency to think that it does descend from above, because there can be a sense that I'm getting a revelation here, because that's the way the enemy works in the spirit. He tries to connect dots. There's a wisdom to it that, oh, now I get, now I'm 10 times as mad as I was before. What are we doing? We're testing the spirits this morning. We're just testing the spirits this morning. And this is a bit of a setup, I will tell you right up off the bat, because next week, we're going to really deal with resisting and really effectively resisting. Think, well, don't you just say in Jesus' name? Yes, that is a big part of how you resist, but there's more to it than that. There's a follow-through to it. There's a whole area I just want to dedicate to that. So last week, we're just talking about he lives in you, the potential. There's nothing that's too big for you and your God that you can't overcome. This week, it's kind of diagnosing things. Once we get a diagnosis, what do you do with that? That's what we're going to really get into next week. But this morning, again, today, I just really want to get into just detecting things. Detecting, is this a God thing or is this not a God thing? The wisdom that is from above, it's pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. And you can just sense the Holy Spirit on the inside goes, yeah, that's good. There's peace, gentle, willing to yield. There's just something different about that. Now listen to this is just voice stuff. Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. He didn't even say theology right there. He said, they'd know my voice. They'd know what it sounds like. It sounds peaceable and gentle, willing to yield. It sounds, you can hear the mercy in it. You can hear there's no partiality in it. It's clean. It's pure. The greater one in you detects that. And you say, that's good. That's good. If I'm over here and I'm stirred up, confusion, self-seeking, even though I'm frustrated. No, even though I'm frustrated over here, I mean, I've been over here a lot of times where I'm frustrated, at least I can just say, you know what? I know this isn't God. All right? I'm just at the diagnosis point right here. But this is important. It's important to test the spirits. Because if you don't test the spirits, what happens is you just internalize day after day and year after year, and nothing gets done. And the same powers and principalities just keep playing you and playing you and playing you and playing you. You think, well, does it really matter if I say or do something? Yes, it's huge. Why are you a Christian today? Because you believed something in your heart and you confessed with your mouth and you got saved. a creature made in the image of Almighty God with the free will to declare in faith. It's huge. And this is where I'm going next week. But yes, it's huge. But you've got to recognize it to resist it. You got to test the spirits so you can deal with it. We're spiritual beings. We're created in the image of God by creation, and then we're born again with His Spirit living on the inside of us. He's given us great ability in this world to walk with the power of His name and to walk in the power of His Word in the ways that are foolishness to the natural man but are not foolishness to us. And one of the great benefits that you enjoy is being able to walk in peace and fellowship with your God. It's the first thing that you realize. The first, wow, this thing's been bothering me for years. That's been a mountain. And you mean I could have just spoken to it all these years? Yes. There are mountains you can speak to. And they'll go. And they'll move. And again, this is where we're going. But you got to identify it and say, that's a mountain. That's wrong. And so what am I doing? I'm testing a spirit. I'm saying, that's wrong. I don't like that. I'm not going to allow that to control my thinking. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What are we talking? We're talking about the Jesus test. Is it Christ-centered? Are my thoughts Christ-centered? Am I getting off in my thoughts? Am I looking to Jesus? You know, a lot of times when we deal with a victim complex, you know, it's easy to get off in our thoughts where we feel like people don't understand, God doesn't understand, I'm by myself, I am now the center of my universe. And I've got to recognize that and say, nope, God's got to be my center again. These thoughts are not Christ-centered. You can kind of say that like that, but the bigger reality, get here, is the greater one in you is not going to make you the center. The greater one living in you is going to keep Christ the center. He will glorify Jesus. Like we're singing, Jesus be glorified. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He glorifies Jesus. He's the one who brings you back to center and says, it's about Jesus. This is about Jesus. He loves you. He loves you. You know? So there's the Jesus centering. It's a test. Lord, am I centering up on you? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, useful to teach us what is true, make us realize what is wrong in our lives, corrects us when we're wrong, and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. It's just going back to the Word of God. As I'm listening, as I'm hearing, as I'm getting thoughts in my heart, do they contradict the Word of God? Do they contradict the Scripture? That's really kind of a test number one that we've got from the Holy Spirit. Because the Scripture, this is another important thing to realize, is the Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we realize the greater one who lives in us is the actual one who inspired the written Word of God. So when He leads and guides us, or when you even read the Word of God, that witness of the Holy Spirit, the greater one, you know, they're in agreement together. So as He's guiding you, as you're testing things out, testing your thoughts, taking those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ, the wisdom is going to sound like verse 17, pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, and it's also going to sound like Scripture. You know, it's going to come in line with the Word of God. So the other one is the love test. Does it build up or tear down? Okay? And Jesus said, or this is John, kind of actually continuing in that same passage. He said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There's a love test. Where is this thought leading me? What's the trajectory of this thought? I'm testing a spirit, and I'm just testing one thing. Is it of God or not? If it's of God, it's going to be going the direction of love. There will be something about love in the direction of where God is leading me by the greater one. The Holy Spirit does that. In fact, if I go against it, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the greater one. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So it's another test of the Holy Spirit living in us, helping us to test the spirits. Is it leading toward love? If it's not leading toward love, it's not God. God isn't leading you down a thought pattern of corrupt communication. He's not leading you down that thought pattern of bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. He is leading us toward that kind, tender-heartedness, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's where he's leading. These are just tests. Testing the spirit. Is it Christ-centered? Is it going to center around the love of God? Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So here's a beautiful corporate picture of that, where we're coming together, we're growing. This is something we can experience as we come to Door of Life, or, you know, just before a service or after service, the fellowship, the times that we have throughout the week where we're pouring into each other, ministering to each other. This is love. It's the heart of God. And when you look at the heart of Jesus repeatedly, over and over, in his final words, he was saying, love one another, love one another. It's the message of Christ, is the message of love. The message of growing in love. What are we talking about? Just checking your thoughts. All I'm doing is I'm testing my thoughts. Is it love? Is it love? If it's not love, if I violate love, verse 30, the Holy Spirit is grieved. I've said this before. I said, I thank God for the grieving of the Holy Spirit. I don't thank God that I've grieved him, but I'm glad that he is grieved when I do the wrong thing. I'm glad that when I get off in my heart and my mind, you know, that's out of love, that there's something in me that doesn't like that. And that I got to go back and say, sorry, Father. Sorry, Father. I know better than that. Forgive me. I'm wrong. You know, I forgive them, or, you know, even as you've forgiven me here, whatever it is. That's one of the great, it's one of the great ways the Holy Spirit, the greater one, just keeps us centered. Because we do have the flesh, the world, and the devil, and people, and real situations, and things, and all that. But the Holy Spirit just keeps going, come back to center here. Come back to center here. And there's just something about that. As you're testing the spirits, you're just going to say, okay, I want love. I want love. I want love. I want love. How is this going to look? How is this going to flow? I don't know, but I'm not going to stay over here in bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and all that kind of stuff. I got to put that away. I got to go back to the cross. I got to remember that same Lord who took the punishment for my sin also took the punishment for every sin ever committed against me. And to receive that and to give that mercy and grace. So it's just a test. What am I doing? I'm testing the spirits. Is there love? And then finally, the peace test. Does it lead with peace or does it drive with fear? Okay. This is just, again, kind of listening for the voice generally in terms of the Spirit. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I love how it's worded there. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because he's given us his peace. He's given us his peace, but we still have a choice. His peace is there, but we can let our heart be troubled or let our heart not be troubled. But we've got something there. We've got a peace. In other words, he's saying when it's me, there's going to be this peace, all right? And so as we look at the scriptures, and this is what I so love the way the Apostle Paul puts it, writing to the Philippians, he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God that's in Christ Jesus." And when you're dealing with kind of testing a thought and saying, is this thought like leading me onward toward my future, toward what God is developing me into? Is this part of God? Is it leading me into God's plan? Or is it part of my past that's whipping me and causing fear? Is it driving me? Is there something about it that is, bossing me around, pushing me around, or is it inspiring me forward? You know, Paul said, I don't have account of myself to have apprehended. I'm still growing in this. But he knew how to shut out and shut down certain voices that would be calling from him from the past and to listen and go forward to those things which are ahead. And that's the way the Holy Spirit is. And Jesus is. He goes out ahead. He leads us into all truth. He guides us into all truth. In other words, he'll say, over here, follow this. And so there's a leading and a guiding. There's not a berating with fear. And that's what fear does a lot of times. It gets you to look back. So as you're looking forward, you're afraid because of something in the past or in something in the back. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ's rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live, and be thankful, appreciative, giving thanks to God always." And this is really the peace that Jesus said he was going to leave with us. He said that peace, it's a soul harmony that comes from Christ's rule, and let it act as umpire continually. And so that's really what we're doing when we're just testing thoughts. We're giving it a test and saying, is this God or is this not God? Is there peace? As I'm thinking about this, is it causing just, unrest and, consternation? Or is there peace in this thought? Is there peace in this trajectory of thought that I'm going? And so you're just testing. And when you think about this, I'm not talking a lot of content stuff. It's kind of an interesting message because it's voice stuff. It's a voice. You're listening for a voice. You're listening for a voice of truth, for a voice of love, and for a voice of peace. You're listening for qualities and elements in that. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And you can have some very compelling intellectual arguments, but man, if they are getting you stirred up and they don't pass that truth test, that love test, and that peace test, then they don't pass the God test. Because God is going to sound like that. He is going to sound in a way that is going to line up with what he said the Holy Spirit would do when he was in us. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So there again, anxious for nothing, letting your request be made known. And then here again, we're letting the peace of God that passes our understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's a place of trust. It's a place of knowing. It's a place of, understanding that this is how God is going to move through us. And so if we're getting thoughts coming at us, if we're anxious, we can pray about them. But then we're going to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. If those thoughts keep coming back and there's no peace, and there's anxiety, and there's, what do you do then? What about that? That's what we're going to get into next week, okay? This is really just a diagnosis message this week. I wanted to do both, but I couldn't do both because it would be just an hour and a half long message, and I didn't want to do that to you. So this is basically just a message this morning to let you know we're to test the spirits, and it's not complicated, okay? This is not rocket science. This is a simple test that any believer, any child of God should be able to do. It takes humility, takes simplicity to be able to say, is this Jesus-centered? Is this word-centered? Is it based on love? Is it based on peace? Is it building up, tearing down? What's going on here? And so what we're doing, we're testing thoughts. And as we test these thoughts, we're getting ready to do something with them. The ones that are of God, praise God. We let them through. We journal them down. You might sing them out, share them, fellowship. That's what God gives us those beautiful, precious thoughts for. But there are times when those thoughts are not of Him, and that's what I really want to get to next week. So as we get to the resisting part next week, and we kind of refer back to this, all right? We've done this piece, but we're going to be dealing with getting free, because there's different kinds of stuff. There's little intermittent stuff. There's random stuff. I mean, there's things He does, Satan does to you in a random way, just to see if you'll bite on it. It could be random. Just all across the board, just random weird things, one-offs. And you'll think, oh, wow, I wonder why I thought that. That must be something special. No. Those are little things that you can nip right away and say, not God, done, out of here. But there's other stuff that you dealt with different periods of time. And there's a resisting, but there's some other things that you're going to do too to get free and to stay free, all right? But it's kind of first things first. And in this message, as we've built it up, fear not. It's really a fear not series. Fear not, God lives in you. There's nothing. There's nothing that's too great for your God. There's nothing that you can't overcome by the power of His Spirit, by the power of His Word. Fear not, you know God's voice. This doesn't have to be mystical. Test the Spirit. Is it God or is it not God? Is it leading me to the Word? Is it leading me to love? Is it peace? If it's not, nope. And a lot of times, it's not that I got to have discernment in something and I got to know. And I mean, it's got to be perfectly sweet and clear and pretty, you know, birds singing and butterflies all the time for it to be God. Well, this is what has to happen, is ultimately you're going to say, nope, if there's demonic stuff in there that's not God, saying, no, I reject that. And ultimately what happens is it purifies. If there's something that's of God in there, you'll get a version that's pure from the junk, all right? But that's kind of a process that you'll get. But that's where the peace test, where you pray it out, say, Father, I'll tell you one thing, your peace can keep my heart and mind in Christ until I get it. Until that wisdom that's from above, it's pure, peaceable, gentle. You're waiting on that pure, ultimately that pure wisdom, to be able to act on it, okay? And we're going to kind of actually get into that next week, because that's kind of part of it, when you've got something in your hand that you know isn't God. You know, maybe there's something that could be true in there. We're going to really be addressing that more in the nitty-gritty stuff. But for this morning, I just really wanted to get into a binary test, a simple test. Is this God or is this not God? If it's not God, I got to do something with it, okay? It's not okay to just let it sit in me. And it's amazing the power you have. It's amazing the power that God has given to you. And I'm so glad that I've had so many years to experience this message. Because I've heard this message since the mid-80s, okay? And now this has been 30-some years. I've went through phases with this with my spiritual ego. I went through phases with this, with just life and frustration and trying it religiously. And I have come to a place of peace and grace, to where I know what this means. And I've seen what it means. Just because, thank the Lord for His mercy, being around this block a few times, that you've seen the reality of the power of His Word and His Spirit. And when you say things, all of a sudden, wow, they're gone. Because there's power in the name of Jesus, and there's power in the Word of God. And that's where we're bringing this culmination to next week, as we deal with the stuff we detect. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for just the journey of freedom from fear. We don't have to fear, because You've given us everything You need. You've given us the greater one, and that greater one gives us the potentiality to literally resist anything this world has to offer, because he is greater than he that is in this world. We thank You, Father, we could see that. There is nothing we have to fear, because He is, in fact, the greater one. Not only that, but that greater one, the Holy Spirit, gives us everything we need to be able to test the spirits, to know whether they're from God. And it is so simple. If it's not, Christ-centered, if it's not love, if it's not peace, we don't have to invest in it. We can judge it, that it's not of you, because that's the way you're speaking to us, Lord. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. It is powerful. It is sharp. It penetrates beyond the mental realm into the spirit realm. It pushes back spirits of darkness. There's authority in that word. I trust that word. I want my thoughts to line up with your word, to line up with you, Jesus. Thoughts that glorify you, that bring my attention to you, that cause me to look to you. That's my desire. I want thoughts that love people. I want my thoughts purified and cleansed from anything that's not love. God, you are love. And I want to love like you love. I want to be an imitator of God as your dear child and love like you do. Help me to see how big love is, how powerful love is, how life-changing love is. Help me to not see it in old ways, but for my eyes to be opened to see why you want us to love. It's the answer. And Lord Jesus, your peace, you've left it with me. Thank you. I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. I'm not going to let it be afraid. Anything that's not peace is not you. Your Holy Spirit is not provoking me, agitating me, intimidating me, humiliating me. It's just not you. Doesn't pass the test. Thank you, Jesus. You didn't leave me comfortless. You gave me the guide, the precious Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. So this morning, just to realize you got the guide, you got the Holy Spirit, you got who you need. You don't have to be an authority in the scripture or anything like that, all right? But I can tell you what, you can just know some basic things. I mean, the more scripture you know, the better. You'll continue to grow in your knowledge in the Word of God, as we all do. But don't be intimidated by your lack of knowledge of the Word that you can't know. You can ask some pretty basic questions. Is this love? Is this peace? You know, is this putting my focus on Jesus? That's a really, really good indicator, regardless how much Bible you may or may not know. So praise God.